February 25th, 2022, VIHE, Teaching Nectar Devotion Parental, Chapter 43. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane, Namaste Sarasvati Deve, Gauravani Pracharane, Nivasesa Sanyavani Paskatyade Satarne, Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Padijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Stra Manchakapa Dhruva Sha Kripa Sindhavya Batapatitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavya Namo Namaha. So it's February 25th, 2022. And we're studying
in progress.
The Nectar Devotion, Chapter 43. This is on the parental rasa. So this is Nectar Devotion, which is a summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We're right now in the Western Ocean, and we want to acknowledge Banuswami and David Haverman, each of whom translated the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu verse by verse, without whom I could not have done this. And the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the ocean of the nectar of the mellow of devotion. And in this Western Ocean, Rupa Goswami focuses on the five primary sthaivas. And now we're looking at parental, which is the fourth wave in the Western Ocean. So this is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 341 through 84. So as Rupa's done with each of the waves, he gives us a basic understanding that when the sthaibhav of parenthood is mixed with the vibhav, anubhav, sattvikavav, vyaricharibhav, it becomes the parental bhakti rasa, vatsalya bhakti rasa. And this is defined as the dealings of Krishna with his devotees, who represent themselves as superior personalities, like mothers, fathers, teachers. This would also be aunts, uncles, anybody who has a parental role. So looking at the Vibhava, which is, again, the way Rupa Goswami does this in the Western Ocean for each of the five primary rasas, is he divides them up into the five areas that he discussed at length in the Southern Ocean. So the Vibhava, which has two parts, Alambana basic, Vishaya and Ashraya, and the Udipana. And the Alambana, the Vishaya is generally Krishna. Of course, it is possible to have a Vishaya that's a devotee. Ashraya, the devotee who exemplifies that mood, and Udipana, other stimulants. So looking at the Vishaya, and we're going to have a breakout room on this, so please take notes as to the unique aspects of Krishna that are impelling for this rasa. So Krishna as the object, what inspires that parental feeling as the object. So Krishna as one's son, or of course also as one's student, nephew, so forth, with the complexion of a fresh blue lotus, who has a very soft body, lotus eyes, touched by bee-like locks of hair, with a dark, attractive, soft body. Can we have the softness? the delicateness, all wonderful characteristics. And speaking lovely words, and we can think here of especially childish words. You know, how we feel parental love when we're around little children, speaking in their charming words. His honest simplicity, of course, this is another natural feature of childhood, that children, of course, children do lie, and Krishna also lies as a child, his naughty activities, which is in Udipana. But in general, children have this kind of honest simplicity. They haven't yet learned all the different masks that we put on. And shyness, little Krishna being shy, how obedient and humble he is. How he's very respectful to elders. Right? Again, the parents are also Krishna's parents-in-law. So when Krishna marries all the queens, so those queens' mothers and fathers are also in a parental mood towards Krishna. And how respectful Krishna is to his elders. That's always very charming to parents. How he's generous and charitable. And again, this is a quality of children that's very attractive. Now, just to recap what was discussed in the Southern Ocean, these things act as vishaya when they're seen as integral to Krishna. Krishna, who is so generous. If one's meditating on Krishna's generosity, then that's in the category of Udipana. So Krishna's lordly qualities are not a vibhav for this rasa. So it's Krishna as an object of compassion. And examples given by Rupa Goswami that Yasoda accepted Krishna as her son, although he's accepted in the Vedas as the king of heaven, in the Upanishads as the impersonal Brahman, in philosophy as the supreme male, by the yogis as the supersoul, and by the devotees as the supreme personality of Godhead. Well, what about when Krishna manifests lordly powers? So those in parental rasa, they attribute them to someone else or something else. And the example that Rupa Goswami gives is Yasoda saying, because I and my husband have worshipped Vishnu constantly, Putana and other demons have been destroyed. The two Arjuna trees were uprooted by the wind, and Vishnu protected him. I saw with my own eyes that Govardhan was held up by my husband, along with Balaram's help, because of worshipping Vishnu. How would it be possible for my baby to perform all these difficult tasks? So I think it's quite interesting, this interplay of rasa and tattva. So one of the most important principles of tattva is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But those in Vrindavan, and especially those in parental rasa, they don't generally see this. Even those in parental rasa, such as Vasudeva and Devaki or Devahuti, and this is not their constant meditation that my son is God. And for Yasoda and Nanda, it's not like that at all. For Yasoda and Nanda, they're so absorbed that Krishna is my inferior. I have to take care of him. I have to protect him. That they just simply don't see him as God. So Krishna as God is not the vishaya for this rasa. It's Krishna in all these charming ways as a child. So we're going to have a breakout room now, and we want to discuss the unique way in which Krishna is the vishaya for this rasa. How is it that the Supreme Lord is the object, the impelling, basic impelling object of this parental rasa? So we have 10 minutes.
Recording in progress.
So now we're going to look at the ashraya, the devotees who are the shelter of the parental rasa, and act also as stimulus for those who are in the parental rasa. So the other devotees in that rasa act as stimulus for those in that rasa, and for those who are sadhakas, who've realized that they're in parental rasa, these are the devotees upon whom to meditate. And as we go through, please take notes on which of these devotees, or maybe some that aren't mentioned here that are in parental rasa, you find most inspiring in your own Krishna consciousness. So those who are the shelter of the parental rasa are the elders. They think that they're greater than Krishna. They protect him and they teach him. So Rupa Goswami gives a list of the most notable ashraya in order of importance. So first is Yashoda, then Nanda, then Rohini, then the gopis whose sons were stolen by Lord Brahma, then Devaki, then the other 14 wives of Vasudev, in addition to Devaki and Rohini, Kunti, Krishna's aunt, Vasudev, and Sandipani Muni. And, of course, there are many, many others. There are many other aunts, many other uncles. We have, of course, the fathers of the sons who were stolen by Lord Brahma. There's many other teachers, grandparents, so many other elders. But these are the primary ones in order of importance. And Devaki, Vasudev, and his other wives are considered lesser in status because their affection is less. This lesser degree of affection is caused by a prominence of jnana in their bhakti. Of course, Rohini is in a very special category here, although she's a wife of Vasudev. As we saw, she's in the third category above Devaki. Although Devaki is the chief wife of Vasudev, Rohini is superior to her in her intensity of love for Krishna and Balaram. So Rupa Goswami, for each of these waves in the Western Ocean under ashraya, he picks just a few devotees who are exemplars as ashraya in order to give us some idea and some focus for meditation. And so here Yashoda is the best because she possesses pure affection and nothing else at all. So he does, as Rupa describes in each of these waves, he describes the form and the bhakti of this exemplar ashraya. So Yashoda's form, this is in Bhagavatam 10.9.3. Dressed in a saffron yellow sari with a belt tied about her full hips, Mother Yashoda pulled on the churning rope, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk. Her face, with its very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and Malati flowers were falling from her hair. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in the purport to that verse, writes, anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious in motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. So we had a question as to what extent this kind of instruction applies to a sadhaka. So for those who are in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and whose Rati has not awakened even slightly, such devotees contemplate all of the great devotees equally. For those whose Rati has awakened even slightly and who are therefore in Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, one of the main components of Raganuga Sadhana is that one especially contemplate the ashrayas of one's own Rati, that one contemplate the persons who are the shelters of the relationship that one aspires for with Krishna. Of course, even those who are friends of Krishna think about Mother Yashoda. Those who are lovers of Krishna think about Mother Yashoda. The servants think about Mother Yashoda. Even those devotees in neutrality think about Mother Yashoda. So everybody can think about Mother Yashoda. And those devotees then act as Udipana. So the devotees who are not in one's own relationship act as a general Udipana. But for those who are in that relationship, those devotees act as Ashraya. All right. So Yasoda's form, now this is a little controversial. All right, so we have wavy hair bound by cords with a dot of cinder at the parting of her hair. Does not wear many ornaments, eyes become filled with tears on seeing Krishna. Complexion is dark like a blue lotus, radiating a dark glow, and wears colorful clothing. In other places, Rupa describes that she wears rainbow-colored clothing. Not exclusively, in other words, it's not... even Krishna doesn't always wear yellow. Just like in our temples, we dress Krishna in all kinds of colors, but he particularly likes to wear yellow. So is Yasoda's form dark or golden? So in the Kramadipika 34-36, it says that Vasudeva is light yellow, Devaki is pink, and Yasoda is blackish. And someone asked, well, does this show that Yasoda and Krishna actually have some relationship? Because generally we describe Yasoda as the foster mother of Krishna. Avishnu Chagavati Thakur says that Krishna simultaneously takes birth from Yasoda and Devaki. Prabhupada mentions that in a purport. Other than that one mention in a purport, Srila Prabhupada consistently describes Devaki and Vasudeva as the actual fathers of Krishna and Yasoda and Nanda as the foster parents of Krishna. So, as you like, take it as you like. Or is she golden? In the Gotamiya Tantra, Vasudeva and Nanda are described as golden, Devaki as dark, and Yasoda as golden. Don't expect me to resolve this. I don't have a resolution. So here we have the Nectar Devotion, where Srila Prabhupada writes, her complexion resembles the bluish lotus flower. But in a letter to Ekayani on 1970, he writes, you write to say that you have painted Mother Yasoda light blue color. Please let me know where you've received this information. So I would assume she'd receive this information from Prabhupada's own Nectar Devotion. Yasoda and Nandamari should be colored as Indians are, generally of a light brown tan like wheat. We could do a whole hermeneutical approach to figure out the answer to this question, but we're not going to do that in today's class. All right, and again, as Rupa Goswami does for all of the rasas, when he's describing the ashraya, he describes the person's form, and then he describes their bhakti. So her motherly affection is early in the morning, with milk dripping from her breasts, with choked voice and tears in her eyes. It's amazing how no matter how many times I go through this, I don't find mistakes until I teach it. Yasoda uttered mantras on Krishna's limbs, placed tilak on his forehead for protection, and tied protective herbs on his arms. And Jiva Goswami's commentary says that she used roots for magical purposes and herbs for protection. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's explained, we had a question about this, that Mother Yasoda puts on talismans on Krishna's wrists when he goes to the forest with Nisinga mantras. So yes, the Lord wears talismans, magical amulets that have been that are saturated with various Vishnu mantras. All right, then Rupa Goswami also describes Nanda Maharaj, that the hairs on his head are generally black, but some of them are gray. Garments of a greenish color. His belly is a little fatty. His complexion is like the full moon, and he has a beautiful mustache. So we had a question that Vasudeva had said to Nanda that you and Yasoda had children in your advanced age. You weren't expected to have children. You had children when you're older. That doesn't mean they were 60 or 70 years old. You know, in those days, people married as teenagers or in their 20s, and they generally had children very young. So that Vasudeva and that Nanda and Yasoda had had children when they were older could have meant that in their 30s. It's not that they were old. So then looking at Nanda's parental affection, Again, Rupa does this for each of the Ashraya. Krishna held the fingers of Nanda as he walked on unsteady feet. Seeing his son begin to walk, Nanda became inundated with bliss, and his chest became covered with tears. All right, so we're going to have a breakout room to discuss which devotees in parental Ras you find inspiring and why. We'll have a time for general questions later. I really don't have time for questions right now. So we're going to do a 10-minute breakout room and discuss which devotees in parental rasa, it can be ones that we didn't mention, you find most inspiring and why. Right. So we are
recording now, in progress.
We are now going to look at the last category of Vibhava, on the Udipana. And by the way, I was thinking when all of you were in your breakout rooms how I've written a poem, one about Rohini and one about Vasudev in relationship to their feelings about Balaram and how difficult it must be, this transcendental ecstasies of Rohini raising her son in Vrindavan without her husband. All right, so we're looking at the Udipanas, and Rupa Goswami lists this as Krishna's childhood ages, his childish dress, his childish movements, his sweet words. And we mentioned, of course, earlier under the Vishaya, that Krishna, who speaks charmingly, is in the object, but the words themselves are the Udipanas, his laughing and smiling, and various forms of childish play, including his naughty actions. So while all of Krishna's ages are certainly an impetus for the parents, especially the Kumara ages, and this has been divided up into three: early Kumara, which is birth to 1 year, middle Kumara, which is 2 to 3 years, and late Kumara, which is 4 to 5 years. And Rupa will also describe how Puganda and Kishora can also act as Udipanas for the parents. So early Kumara, birth to 1 year. So Krishna's waist and thighs are chubby. The edges of his eyes are white. His teeth begin to appear slightly, and his body is very tender. So when Krishna had only 3 or 4 teeth coming out of his gums, his thighs were fatty, his body was very, very short, and he began to enhance the parental love of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda. So what are his activities? He likes to kick up his legs, momentarily crying and then laughing, right? Crying, then laughing, sucking his thumb, sleeping on his back. And his ornaments, the nails of tigers set in a golden necklace, again, these are talismans, a silk thread around his waist, protective tilak on his forehead, and black mascara around his eyes. Now, middle Kumara, from 2 to 3, the upper portion of his hair falls around his eyes. His hair's gotten longer. Of course, we know when Krishna appeared to Vasudeva and Devaki, he had a full head of hair and 4 arms. And then Devaki said, look more like a human baby. And sometimes he's covered with cloth around the lower part of his body, and sometimes he's completely naked. So it's a very charming feature of children at this age, that sometimes they have clothes on and sometimes they don't. So this middle Kumar, 2 to 3 years, a pearl at the tip of his nose, butter in his hand, small golden bells around his waist. This is a painting I particularly love. And it really seems like the artist, I think Brickett is the artist for this, Brickett Das, seems like he really got this, was inspired in this painting from this description of nectar devotion. And someone asked about Krishna's stealing, why Krishna's stealing, always having this butter is attractive. And any of us who are parents or who've dealt with very young children, the fact that little children don't have a sense of what is proper and what is not, what is moral and what is not, is actually part of their charm. Like it's explained with the four Kumaras, how they didn't think about boundaries. You know, they just walk up to the gate of Vaikuntha, and Prabhupada talks about how little children are normally allowed anywhere, and this they have this innocence about them. They don't know what's right, what's wrong. They steal. Middle Kumar, 2 to 3 years, activities, uttering sweet, unclear words, one of the most charming features of childhood, and trying to run very quickly with his little legs, again, very charming. And then the end of the Kumara, from 4 to 5 years, his waist becomes slightly thinner, chest becomes broader, and his curly hair looks like crow's wings. His ornaments at the end of the Kumara carries a small stick. His clothing is a little longer, and I couldn't find a picture of this while I really looked. A cloth folded around his waist resembling the hood of a snake. And I have seen people in India or from India that they have their dhoti and then they have like a sash, and the center of the sash is tied kind of like a snake's hood, but again, I couldn't find pictures. I really looked. And flower ornaments. And the activities when he's 4 to 5 years old, herding calves, Prabhupada says, around the house. Although we know that he does go into the forest with his calves at this age, because that's when Brahma steals the boys and calves. Playing with his friends. So, of course, when children are 4 to 5, especially, 2 to 3 years old, they also play with friends. But often it's what we call parallel play. So really starting at 4 or 5, children really play with their friends. And playing on small flutes, horns, and leaves. So making, we mentioned this in other parts, that they make musical instruments out of leaves. So now going on to the Pauganda age as an Udipana for the parental rasa. My son with white edges on his eyes, wearing a turban and jacket, is returning to Vraja from the riverbank, following behind the cows while his attractive ankle bells jingle. So Krishna starts taking care of the cows in his Pauganda age. This is, of course, the festival of Gopastami. Another thing for Pauganda, when Krishna was taking care of the calves, this should be cows, and was a little late returning home, Nandamarj would get up on the Chandra Shalika, a small shed built on the roof for getting a bird's eye all around. So the roof tower. Nandamarj would point out the peacock feather on his child's head and would inform his beloved wife how the child was pleasing his eyes. So this is Krishna's taking out now the cows into the forest. This should be cows, not cats. And Mother Yasoda and Nandamarj are anxious. When will our child be back? When will our child be back? So Nandamarj goes onto this moon tower and he's watching. Oh, I see him, I see him, I see him, I can see him clearly with his peacock feather. Kishora age. And Nanda says to Yasoda, Yasoda, that jewel of a man, dark in color, who came from the mine of your womb, with reddish edges on his eyes, with raised chest, a necklace hanging on his throat, and a line of hair rising from his belly, is giving pleasure to my eyes. Now, when Krishna is in his Kishora age, his parents still consider him to be in the Pauganda age. Now, as myself, on the material level, being a mother and grandmother and great-grandmother, and I can attest to the fact that one always sees one's children to some extent as children. I remember when I was in my 40s, and my father comes and gives me a hug and says, oh, my little baby. I was the youngest of three, And I said, Dad, I'm now a grandmother. I'm not your baby. And he said, you'll always be my baby. So there's, you know, I know that my children are adults, women and men, but I don't really see them like that. I really see them, you know, as my children. You know, my daughter's a grandmother. I can't even process that emotionally. I can process it intellectually, but not emotionally. I know my sons are men. They're fathers of children. My oldest son is the father of grown children. And still, I don't really see, I don't, intellectually I understand that, but emotionally I always see them as my children. So this also operates in the transcendental realm, that the parents of Krishna always see him as very young. And Rupa Goswami also mentions that when Krishna is in his Pagunda age, some of his servants accept him as being in his Kaishora age. So this, yes, Nanda says that jewel of a man. Yes. In other words, they know. It's not that they don't know. It's like, I know my oldest son is, what, 47, I think? I think so. 46, 47. So I know that he's a man. Like I say, he has even adult children at this point. It's not that I don't know that he's a man. But emotionally, I don't feel like that. Emotionally, he's my child. So it's not that, like we're going to read later, how Yasoda's saying, oh, Krishna got married in Mathura. You know, I wish that I could have, that he could have married here in Vrindavan. So she knows he's a married man. She knows he has children. It's not like she doesn't know that. But the emotional feeling is not like that. All right, so other Udipanas, Krishna's childish movements, breaking the milk pots, scattering the yogurt, stealing the cream off the milk, breaking the churning rod, constantly throwing butter into the fire. So the naughty activities of children are also an impetus, even though they're naughty, because it shows their innocence, that they don't really understand, you know, what's right and what's wrong. I'm just thinking how when I was very young, my parents had a humidifier. Humidifier puts moisture into the air. And it was a stand-up humidifier with a hole in the top. So I used to love to throw toys and tissues and other things into that hole until the water vapor stopped coming out. I found that fascinating. And my father would have to turn off the humidifier and take it apart to take all the toys and stuff out. And I can distinctly remember, I was about 2 years old, my father saying to me, now, don't put any things in here. Don't put things in here. And I would wait until my father walked out of the room, and then again I would throw things in there. So this sort of behavior by children is there in the Lord. Prabhupada Priya says, it must have been so sad for Mother Yasoda not to be able to attend Krishna's weddings. I think she did. I think she did attend Krishna's weddings. In fact, I think she's part of the elders that expands and attends all of the weddings. But the thing is that Krishna, in those days, generally speaking, the girls would move into the husband's home. Not always. We have Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, whose daughter and son-in-law were maintained by him. So sometimes it went the other way. Sometimes the son moved into the wife's family home. But generally, the daughter-in-law moved into the husband's family home. And that Mother Yasoda didn't do that. She didn't, you know, Krishna was there in Mathura and then in Dwarka with Devaki and Vasudeva, not with her in Nanda. So she could attend the weddings, but she wasn't there with her son and daughters-in-law and seeing her grandchildren grow up and so forth and so on. His childish movements. Omkar Krishna, looking around in fear and walking softly, has come to steal the butter by darting out from behind the creepers. Remain here, pretending not to know. I desire to see his attractive face with dry face and frightened eyes as he moves his brows, thinking how to steal the butter. When we get to the at the end of this class, we'll be talking about this meeting and separation, and you know how the parents in Mathura, Dwarka, parents in Mathura and Indraprastha, and so other places, they don't get to see Krishna's childhood pastimes, and then the parental, those in Vrindavan, except for Rohini. Rohini is very unique. Unique means one, okay. Rohini is very special. The parents in Vrindavan, they don't see much of Krishna's adult pastimes. So there's this meeting and separation. Okay, we're going to take a 10-minute break. Please take a real break. Please get away from your computer, your phone, walk around, drink some water, and we'll be back in 10 minutes. Hare Krishna.
Recording in progress.
So now we're going to look at the anubhav of the parental rasa. Again, anubhav is the voluntary expressions of love, some that are without strong bodily movements and some that are with. So, specific anubhavas in Vatsalya Rasas, of course, is not a comprehensive list, but rather indicative. Smelling Krishna's head, rubbing his body with one's hands, giving him blessings, giving him orders. So funny, you know how Prabhupada talks about how we shouldn't take God as our order supplier or giving him orders. But when you're Krishna's parents, you give him orders. Caring for him, protecting him, and giving him beneficial instructions. This is also so funny. Krishna is the one giving moral instructions to the world, but his parents give him moral instructions. This is how you should behave. Okay, so an example of smelling the head. This is the fathers of the cowherd boys when Krishna expanded himself as all of the boys. So they all had Krishna as their son. It's 10:13:33 of the Bhagavatam. At that time, all the thoughts of the cowherd men merged in the ocean of paternal love, which was aroused by the sight of their sons. Experiencing a great attraction, their anger completely disappearing, they lifted their sons, embraced them in their arms, and enjoyed the highest pleasure by smelling their sons' heads. So someone had asked previously about what is this head smelling. When you're a parent and you're much bigger than your child, it's natural that when you hold your child, pick up your child, that your face is on top of their head and that you smell their hair. And generally this smell of young children is very pleasing. It's a very attractive smell. What to speak of when your child is God. As another example, smelling the head, the wife of Nanda, with milk flowing from her breasts and soaking her body, after smelling his head, bedecked with peacock feather, began to rub his limbs with her hands repeatedly. Now, there are anubhavas in common with the friends, kissing him, embracing him, calling out his name, and criticizing him. So Krishna's friends criticize him and his parents criticize him. A sattvikabhav is involuntary emotion that happens when the heart becomes overwhelmed by ratis, by one's daibhav, and this produces a state of what's called sattva, which is not sattvaguna, and results in these 8 involuntary expressions of emotion: paralysis, perspiration, herpulation, choke voice, quivering, change of color, tears, and fainting. So all of these are in the parental rasa, in addition for the women, with milk flowing from the breast. And Rupa Goswami gives some examples. This is from Bhagavatam 10:13:22. When Krishna expanded into the cowherd boys, the various mothers picked up those boys and milk flowed from their breasts. Krishna drank that milk as if it was nectar. So another example is that when Krishna returns home, he's dusty. His mother's breast milk washes him like an auspicious bath. And another example of Satvika bhavas in general, the disturbed queen of Gokula, that's Yasoda, could not embrace Krishna, the lifter of Govardhan, because her limbs were paralyzed, nor could she gaze upon him because her eyes were filled with tears, nor could she instruct him because her voice was choked up. So we're going to look at Vyavichari bhavas in the parental rasa. Vyavichari bhavas are transitory emotion that come from various causes. They're related to the primary and secondary sthayi bhava. There are stages of them, there are strengths of them. And Rupa Goswami in the Southern Ocean has listed 33 Vyavichari bhavas. And he mentions here that the Vyavichari bhavas for parental rasa are the same as those in the friendship rasa, but also with the addition of forgetfulness. So an example of joy, Yasoda felt fortunate when she got back her lost child. She placed him on her lap and began to embrace him again and again. Torrents of tears fell from her eyes, and she was unable to express her transcendental joy. Another example of joy is the great joy that comes from touching Krishna brings me the an all-embracing cool sweetness whose wonderful effect surpasses that of camphor powder, moonlight, the fragrant cooling oil from Ushra root, the blossom of a blue lotus, and sandalwood paste. Okay, so we have some time for any questions and discussions on anything so far before we go on to sthayi bhava. Maharaj.
Yes, last week there was a question about the widow of one earring, and we were supposed to get the answer from Madhavananda Prabhu. So can we share that with us?
Oh, please, please. About why Balaram wears just one earring. Please, yes.
No, I'm asking you, Daiva Simha Prabhu was to get the answer from Mananda. So, did he get the answer and he shared with you, which you gave for us?
Daiva Simha Prabhu, do you have an answer that you can share with us?
I asked Madhavananda Prabhu in regards to the hearing. Hiddananda Prabhu's answer, everybody knows that it's a some pastime with the Ek Chakra, with the Mahabharata pastime, that there was some demon and who was there underground, and Hiddananda Prabhu put his earring on the ground, he was in the form of a snake, so he could not come out. And then because Hiddananda Prabhu's earrings were there, so in that way that snake was, then he was being fed through the knife. It's like a whole pastime which I can like share on the chat box. Or so this is regarding Balaram, I didn't found any.
Well, why don't you share the one about Nityananda in the chat box then? That would be good.
Yeah, I will share that.
Thank you, sir.
And the second question was regarding the Vinita Mataji, that regarding some class in which, so that also like Madhavananda who has posted it to me, I will share again in the chat box.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Maharaj, did you have another question? Or anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, this is sort of all I have for now.
Oh, well, thank you for reminding us of that. Most appreciate it. I would have forgotten.
Okay.
Thank you. Prabhupada Priya.
Krishna, forgive me if my computer's making background noise.
Oh, it's okay today.
Oh, good. So, in our breakout room, I raised a point about Rohini, that she's like one of the few people that is, or maybe the only person that was with Krishna in all of his Komalilas, you know, from Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. And so I just like to know how she navigated that, like seeing the very different moods, and how did she adjust to respond to that? Did her mood change in different places, and how did that affect her parental affection towards Krishna?
Well, I think that's a little above my pay grade here. but she's certainly not the only one who appears in more than one place. So we also have, for example, Uddhava, who is with Krishna in Dwarka but also goes to Vrindavan. Jambavan's an interesting personality who's with Krishna in Ramlila. He's in Ayodhya but also in Dwarka. I mean, we have devotees who are in different places by expansions. For example, it's described that some of the friends of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are also monkeys in Ramlila and cowherd boys in Krishna Lila. But if we're talking about within the same pastime, we do have people who exist in more than one place, and how they negotiate that, I don't know. I find Rohini one of the most interesting personalities, one of the deepest personalities. As I say, I've written a poem about her. I guess if you all like, I could share that.
Yes, please do.
You'd like me to share that? Okay, well, let me...
Also, I'm wondering, like, did she ever go back to Vrindavan and tell... I mean, she and Mother Yashoda must have been really very close friends. Did she ever go back and just be like, tell her what Krishna's doing in Dwarka?
You know, it's so interesting, that question, because what we have from the Bhagavatam and the works of the Goswamis, I mean, we know there's so many more volumes of the Bhagavatam that are on other planets. And, you know, there's so much that's just not there. like even here in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami is just describing the key ashraya persons, right? I mean, he's not describing everyone. So, you know, that's... there's so much we don't know. I mean, we know that Vasudev, for example, we know that Vasudev's, all of his wives except Devaki, were in Vrindavan out of fear of Kamsa. That's actually mentioned in the Bhagavatam. And we know Rohini has his son, Balaram, while she's in Vrindavan. Well, she must have visited Vasudev in Mathura during that time. And it's reasonable to assume that the other 14 wives who were hiding in Vrindavan also visited their husband in Mathura, even when he was in prison during some of that time. That's a reasonable thing to assume. And so it's not unreasonable to assume, just like we have a mention a little later on about Akura going to Vrindavan and telling Yasoda about Krishna's queens. And somebody asked, well, when did Akura go back to Vrindavan? And my answer is, I don't know. It's not mentioned anywhere. So one can extrapolate that there was also some... I mean, Mathura and Vrindavan are not that far away. Of course, even when everybody moves to Dwarka, which is considerably far away, I'm sure there were letters and messages and maybe some visits. So here's a poem I wrote about Rohini and her relationship with Vasudev in respect to Lord Balaram. So I wrote, alone and away from husband, close by yet very far, with the perfect son to raise alone, the fear of the king as a bar, keeping the parents separate to yearn for each other's embrace and for sharing the joy of raising their son, the source of love and grace. How Rohini wanted to turn to her spouse to marvel at each new step their son took as he learned to turn or as he crawled and crept. How Vasudev waited for letters and maybe a furtive visit so Rohini could share of the boy's first words describing every minute. She had some co-wives with her and her dear friend Yasoda, her brother-in-law King Nanda, and the Lord to call her Ma. The height of the spiritual universe was hers to call her home, yet the hole in her heart for her husband was hers to carry alone. So spiritual life and relationships are eternally personal, with varied tastes and emotions for each individual. I also wrote a very short poem about Vasudev. Vasudev never saw them, never laughed with them, never tickled their tiny feet. He simply imagined the fun and games, never taught them to speak. He meditated on his dear sweet boys, never saw them learn to walk. Every moment he longed to hold them and walk with them, never rocked them to sleep. Separation is a strange kind of ecstasy. So those are the poems I wrote about Rohini and Vasudev. Any other questions on what we've discussed so far?
I have a question.
Yes, Loka Pavani.
Hi, Krishna. My question is regarding Vatsalya Rasa in general, because as I understood, Krishna in the spiritual world, he's in Kaishora age, right?
Mm.
And these other ages are only experienced in the material world.
Mm.
So does it mean that, I don't know, this is just my speculation now, that there is Yashoda and Nanda in the spiritual world and they have a relationship with Krishna in Kaishora age, but then when they want to enjoy in these other ages, then they come to the material world where Krishna anyway performs his pastimes eternally. And do they then get like born, or they just descend, or I don't know, I just wondered if you know something like about
the way you're describing it is how I understand it, and yes, like Krishna tells everyone before he appears, please take birth in these families. So to come to the material world, generally speaking, one has a mother and father. Even the Lord. I mean, you know, when the Lord comes as Vishnu, that's another thing. He may sometimes just show up riding on Garuda, and then he leaves. But in this world, yes, one appears to have parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and family and all of that.
So
the way you've described it is the way that I have understood it from our acharyas.
Okay. And if one has an attraction to Krishna as a baby, that actually means that he or she will be in the material world because of that attraction. I mean, it will be an eternal lila and spiritual, but basically...
Well, both.
Yeah.
Both.
Okay.
Okay, Rukmini has something that she wanted, that she's adding in the chat. She says that she's heard that Krishna does exist in his younger ages in the spiritual world, but she doesn't remember the reference. So, that's always made most logical sense to me, but... generally, we hear that he's there eternally in Kaishora. So, I don't know. I believe this was one of the questions that Ekayani, who had been married to Gopal Krishna before he was a sannyasi, asked Prabhupada, and that Prabhupada said, "Better you chant Hare Krishna, go to the spiritual world and see for yourself." I think that was one of the questions that Prabhupada gave that answer to. I mean, from a theological point of view, there can't be anything in this world that is absolutely missing in the spiritual world. That's not possible. Whatever we have here, Krishna is the source of everything. So one shouldn't think, well, if I want to see Krishna as my child, then I'm really going to be kind of out of luck in the spiritual world. You know, there'll be something that'll be missing that I have to come to the material world for. At the same time, we hear like real demons aren't in the spiritual world and so forth. So that's also the case. Anyway, I can just repeat these things. I'm hoping that by chanting Hare Krishna, I will go to the spiritual world and see for myself. I'm sorry if that's not a satisfying answer. Vishalaksha Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for kindly explaining. Very, very nice, sweet and pastimes, especially the parental rasa. Mataji, that... I want to know that here, see, in each pastime, see, Krishna is giving more pleasure to his devotees, or devotees giving more pleasure to Krishna?
Oh, my goodness. Well, Prabhupada says distinctly that Krishna's love is equal, that Krishna's embracing both Radharani and the calf. I wouldn't say more. I would say different. Krishna is described at the beginning of the Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, as Akila Rasamrita Murti. And that every jiva or each manifestation of a Shakti Tattva has a somewhat different relationship with him. And Krishna's experiencing different flavors of rasa. You know, the parental rasa of Yasoda is different than that of Rohini, which is different from that of Nanda, which is different from that of Devaki. And the same is true with all the friends, the same is true with all the queens, with all the lovers, with all the servants, with all the trees. And the example that I could give, that I give a lot, is of different flavors of ice cream. So, you know, there's vanilla, there's strawberry, there's pistachio ice cream, there's butter pecan, there's so many different flavors of ice cream. And then there's so many different kinds of pizza, and there's so many different kinds of sabji, and there's so many different tastes of food. And we have so many different kinds of fruit, and then there's kinds. There's kinds of apples, there's kinds of bananas, there's kinds of mangoes. And... what do you like more, a peach or a mango? I don't know. They're different. Now imagine what Krishna is doing is Krishna can taste everything simultaneously. So Krishna is tasting these different relationships with each of these different jivas or Shakti Tattva simultaneously. Does Krishna like, but he's able to distinguish. I read once about this one man who had a near-death experience, and he talked about going to a higher realm. I doubt if it was the spiritual world, it was probably just some higher planet. But what he described was that he heard thousands of voices glorifying the Lord simultaneously. And he said that he could distinguish each voice singing in its own way and singing its own song of glorification. And yet the thousands of voices joined together to form a harmonious concert. So which is more? I mean, if you're listening to a symphony and there's the different wind instruments and the different string instruments and the percussion instruments, and which is more? I mean, I don't think it's like that. I don't, we can discuss and say on a certain platform that the most intensity of love is found in Madhurya Bhav. But over and over again, we're told that the highest thing is what's highest for each person. And Krishna wants, what gives Krishna the most pleasure is if each jiva is the perfection of that jiva. He's not like a parent that wants all their kids to be doctors or IT specialists, regardless of their propensities. He's the kind of parent that wants each child to be the ultimate example of themselves. A parent who, you know, if the child is a musician and they're a great musician, that's as much pleasure as if the child is a doctor and is a great doctor, and there isn't more or less. Okay, we have time for one more, and then we have to go on. Mahalakshmi?
Thank you.
We were talking in the group about it. What would be the rasa of Jatila and Kutila? Of course, they increase the ecstasy of meeting because they make such a enigmatic situation. But what is their rasa?
They're also in parental rasa. The elders. Not Kutila. I'm not sure where she would fit. Probably Dasya is my guess. But the in-laws, that's a very good question. The parents of the apparent husbands of the gopis. Yeah, they have a parental... And in fact, we'll come to that actually in very soon in today's class. But that was an excellent question. All right. And let me go on to... Very thoughtful question. Okay. By the way, thank you all for wanting to have this class. It's so enlivening. One of the most enlivening things that I've done is the preparation for this class and teaching this class. And I want to thank you all for wanting to be in it. Okay, looking at the sty bhav, so the basic connection is compassion towards someone worthy. So that is the foundation, the basic connection, having compassion towards someone worthy. And there's degrees of increase, prema, sneha, and raga. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to mute. Okay, an example of rati is from Bhagavatam 10.6.43, that when Nanda Maharaj returned from Mathura and began to smell the head of his son, he was merged in the ecstasy of parental love. Another example of rati: Mother Yasoda was anxious to hear the sound of Krishna's flute, expecting him back from the pasturing ground when he was late. So rati, again, is another word for sty bhav. To prema. Prema is when love becomes very fixed and one is convinced it can never decrease. And the anubhavas are things such as complete attachment. And the examples given of when Yasoda and Nanda met Krishna during the time of the solar eclipse. So knowing Krishna was being glorified by the sages there, Yasoda, milk flowing from her breast, entered Kurukshetra without reverence for him as the Lord. Another example of prema is when Krishna went to Kurukshetra to observe the solar eclipse. People glorified him as a son of Vasudev. Devaki, acting as a mother, wiped the tears from his face, while Nanda and Yasoda's prema simply increased. Sneha is when prema becomes extremely thick and the heart melts and one cannot bear even a moment's separation. So the example given is when Yasoda went to see Krishna at Kurukshetra. Her milk was like the Ganges, and her tears mixed with mascara was like the dark Yamuna. So this is the melting quality. And raga? Raga is defined as, with Krishna, sorrow becomes happiness. Without Krishna, happiness becomes sorrow. And one will do anything to please Krishna, even giving one's life. And the example of raga is if Yasoda is placed on a fire but can see Krishna, the fire feels as cool as ice. If she's placed in an ocean of nectar but cannot see Krishna, the nectar becomes as sharp as poison. So now we're going to look at, again, Rupa has this template. So in the Sthayi Bhav, he looks at intensity, and then he looks at the meeting and separation. And please take notes on meeting and separation, as we will have a breakout room on this topic. All right, so to review the terms for separation and meeting, ayoga, subtraction, yoga, addition. So there's the separation before having met Krishna, then there's the perfection of the first meeting, separation after having met Krishna, satisfaction meeting after separation, and then steadiness or eternal. So ayoga, separation, subtraction, we have the utkantikam, longing before ever having met the Lord, and viyoga, separation after meeting. So looking first at separation before meeting, the example is given of Devaki. Now, of course, she did meet Krishna right when he was born, but then she hadn't seen him since birth. So she is given as an example of separation before having met, although technically she did meet him. And she longed to see his face more glorious than the autumn moon. Kunti is given as an example of utkantikam, a separation before having met, that she said to Akura, "Tell Krishna, the son of my brother, that Kunti, dwelling among the enemy, is longing to see him." And this is really quite a meditation, that there are those in parental rasa who hadn't seen Krishna. They knew he was on the planet, they wanted to see him, but they hadn't seen him. Then separation after meeting, Viyoga. Well, Yasoda heard about her son's activities in Mathura. Milk flowed from her breasts and she cried out of love. This is from Bhagavatam 10:46-28. And another example with Yasoda, that Krishna's gone to Mathura. Thin Yasoda, hair scattered here and there, falls on the ground. She shouts, "Oh my son, oh my son," and beats her chest. So there are Vyavichari Bhavs in Viyoga. And in Viyoga, the Vyavichari Bhavs are only great anxiety, lamentation, disappointment, being stunned, humility, restlessness, madness, and illusion. And an example of anxiety in Viyoga, Yasoda's mind is tired and it doesn't function. Her pupils are motionless, staring in a crooked way. The milk from her breast has cooked by her hot breathing. She's afflicted with unsteadiness. An example of lamentation, when Yasoda heard of her son's marriages, lamented, "Why couldn't I have gotten married him in Vraja and received her daughter-in-law at home?" So this news is said to be brought by Akura, who's telling her about Krishna's grihastha life, and she's like, "Why couldn't I have experienced this myself?" Disappointment when Yasoda is saying, "My cow's milk is cursed, all my opulences are cursed, because Krishna's left here and I can't use it to serve him." An example of being stunned is Yasoda. With Krishna in Mathura, she's compared to Krishna's cowherding stick. Of humility, where Yasoda says, "My dear Creator, won't you kindly bring my dear son Krishna back to me so I can see him for at least a moment." Restlessness. Yasoda to Nanda. I find this very funny, because argument between husband and wife goes on even between Nanda and Yasoda. Yasoda says to Nanda, "Why do people call you the king of Raja? It's very astonishing that while being separated from your dear son Krishna, you are still living within Vrindavan as a hard-hearted father." Madness, that Yasoda would wander all over asking the trees and birds about her son. And illusion, Ananda's response to Yasoda was, "Why are you suffering so much? Don't you see that Krishna's here?" So Krishna was in Mathura and he's saying that. And someone said, "Well, what's the illusion?" Someone asked this question, "Isn't Krishna eternally in Vrindavan? So is Nanda in illusion by seeing Krishna in Vrindavan when he's apparently in Mathura? Or is it an illusion thinking that Krishna is in Mathura?" Which is the illusion? Such sweet things to contemplate. Okay, three different kinds of yoga. So the first meeting, meeting after separation, an eternal meeting. So this first meeting, city which resolves Utkantikam. So seeing Hari, who had long been the object of their eyes' desire, enter the wrestling arena, the wives of Vasudev immediately drenched their new blouses with breast milk. Now this is confusing to me because it is mentioned elsewhere in the Bhagavatam that these wives of Vasudev, like Rohini, were in Vrindavan. So, I don't know. Maybe different pastimes and different kalpas. I have no idea. Satisfaction meeting after separation. From Bhagavatam 1.11.29, when Krishna entered Dwarka after finishing the battle of Kurukshetra, the mothers put him on their laps, streams of milk flowing from their breasts, and bathed him with joyful tears. And someone asked, how do you put your grown son on your lap? And I don't think I've ever done that with my grown-up children. Someone asked, you know, isn't that a little awkward? How can it work? Maybe if they're sort of like sitting next to you and you're hugging them and they're partially on your lap. And an example from with Mother Yasoda, when she saw her son after separation, her tears and breast milk were bathing him. And then eternal association. And this also gives some indication, the questions before, of to what extent is one with Krishna as a little child eternally, because this example is given of eternality. Yasoda fixed her eyes on Krishna's moon-like face while milk poured from her breasts. Now, Jiva Goswami's commentary on Bhaktivedanta Sindhu 3476, he writes a very, very, very long commentary about how Krishna returns to Vrindavan after killing Dantavakra, and lives eternally with the residents of Vrindavan in the spiritual world. All right, so we're going to have a breakout room to discuss meeting and separation in parental rasa. So this will be 10 minutes. Okay.
Recording in progress.
We are now going to go over some other considerations about the parental sthana bhava. So, is Vatsalya a rasa? And Rupa says that literary experts accept that the parental mood is one of the rasas, where the rati is a sense of parenting and the object is a child or student. Now, I found this next point by Rupa Goswami to be really, really fascinating. You know, when there is an exchange of love, I love someone, and I have a sense that they also love me. So if a devotee doesn't have a sense that Krishna loves them, then the servitude rati will weaken. So I love Krishna, does Krishna love me? The sense of servitude will weaken. With friendship, remember, in friendship there's this equality. It disappears. So in the friendship rasa, in order for that rasa to exist, the devotee has to have the same sense, I love Krishna and Krishna loves me, but the parental rasa is not affected. So even if Krishna as my child or my student doesn't love me, I still love him. Totally. There's no effect. And we see in the material version of the parental rasa that this also often operates, that the parent or the teacher loves the child regardless. The child can hate the parent, or the child can be neutral to the parent, and the parent still loves the child. Now, mixtures, we had a number of questions on this. Mixtures of sthana bhavas can occur. This was already described in the Southern Ocean, and Rupa is describing it again. And this can happen with any of the sthana bhavas. For example, we read about how Uddhava is primarily in Dasyabhav, but there's some Sakya. And then the devotee is generally described according to which is stronger. And why does Rupa specifically bring this up here in the discussion of parental, I don't know. One thing that I've kept in mind is that Rupa's writing this book on leaves, and he doesn't have a word processor. So sometimes something is brought up that maybe could have been brought up at a different place, but he thinks of it now. So he's mentioning it now, although the combination does not have to do only with parental. He gives some examples that don't involve parental at all. All right, so this was mentioned previously. In friendship, that the fraternal feelings of Balaram are mixed with both servitude and parental, although they're primarily fraternal. That Yudhisthira, that his feeling of friendship is also mixed with parental and also servitude. Ugrasena is primarily servitude, but there's some parental. Finding a picture of Ugrasena was not easy. Now, what's interesting about these examples is that parental and servitude are opposites. In servitude, you think Krishna is higher. In parental, you think Krishna is lower. So how this works is quite interesting, how somebody could have a mixture of parental with servitude. Some of the older cowherd women have parental mixed with friendship because they have a slight joking mood. And someone asked a question about this. And I find myself, again, as a parent and grandparent, that I can have a mixture as... I can have mostly a parental mood towards my children or grandchildren, and yet we can also be friends. Maybe some of you are friends with your parents. And we can also be joking around. Vinita says a butler can have parental and servitude. Yeah, okay. An older butler. Yeah, that's true. The servants who are taking care of the children of the family can be both the servants to those children and also have a mood of parental. Yeah, that's very true. Thank you, Vinita. Okay, Nakula, Sahadeva, Narada have friendship mixed with servitude, which again is interesting because in friendship there's this feeling of equality. In servant there's a feeling of inferiority. Shiva, Garuda, Uddhava, and others, this was also mentioned previously, have servitude mixed with friendship, so primarily servitude, a little friendship. And some say that Aniruddha and other grandsons have servitude mixed with some friendship. In this way, the mixture of rasas can be understood in other devotees also. Again, this is not just in relation to parental. Some of the examples that Rupa gives here don't involve parental at all. And my guess is that this is like an afterthought. This is something he brought up in the Southern Ocean, and he's bringing it up again. I will take questions in a moment. We just have a couple minutes. Looking again at the relationship that the Vyavicharibhavs and the Rati produces Sattva, which induces the Anubhavas and the Sattvikabhavas, we can also say the dominant primary Staibhav is acted upon by the Vibhavas along with the secondary and the Vyavicharibhavas to produce the Anubhavas and Sattvikabhavas, that we have the basic connection, the Staibhav acted on by the Vibhavas, Anubhavas, Sattvikabhavas, and Vyavicharibhavas to produce rasa or taste. So we are basically out of time. And if anybody needs to leave now, that's fine. But if we could take a few minutes, if anybody has any altogether questions, I could take a very, very few minutes for questions. Vishalaksha.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hi, Krishna.
Mataji, thank you, Mataji, for nice explanation. And we see the parental rasa, especially in Goloka, and we are hearing very nicely. Very nicely, Krishna is enacting with his mother and father. But we can see the... Can we have also in Vaikuntha?
Oh, very good question. Actually, this is a question that was discussed among the GBC. some years ago, it was a very heated discussion among the GBC and other ISKCON leaders. And the answer is yes. And the example given in the Bhagavatam. All right, I'm going to ask all of you, what's the example given in the Bhagavatam of a person in parental rasa who exists in Vaikuntha? Aditi, well, Aditi, she's given in the heavenly planets, so maybe that's also in Vaikuntha. But there's a specific example given in the Bhagavatam. Here's this devotee who's Krishna's mother, and when she leaves this world, she goes to the Vaikuntha planet where her son is situated.
Dhruva Maharaj's mother.
No, because Dhruva is not Vishnu. Devahuti, yes, Rukmini wins the prize. So if we had a plate of prasadam, we would give Rukmini a maha sweet. Okay, Vinita has a question in the chat. Elderly gopis having mixture of Vatsalya, Dasya, and Sakya. How does Sakya work there? So again, speaking for myself as a parent, I have somewhat of a friendly relationship with my children and grandchildren. And sometimes I deal with my children and grandchildren as equal adults rather than as my children and grandchildren. So that is there. Sometimes I don't really see them as my children or grandchildren, my adult grandchildren I'm talking about. Sometimes I see them as equal adults. Mahalakshmi, I see you lowered your hand. Kasturika?
Hare Krishna. I was thinking of an example for 3479 Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, how you posted, how parental rati will not be affected. When the gopis ask Krishna, in which category do you fall? People, sometimes they are affectionate and they reciprocate. Some people are indifferent and some are, they are inimical. Mm-hmm. Then Krishna says that parents fall into the category of, even though they don't reciprocate, but still parents are merciful. So I was thinking of parental rati won't be affected.
Very nice. Even. That's very nice. Yes, Krishna, that second category of the people who love, even if it's not reciprocated. And there's two subcategories of that. One is the pure devotees who love everyone, and the other is in family life, the family members, particularly the parents. Yes, Vinita said that Draupadi wouldn't be the only female friend. Yes, although of course Draupadi's, her primary relationship is that of friendship, whereas that as the older gopis, their primary relationship is parental, but it has some of them, not all of them, some of them have some friendship also there. I think it's a very reasonable assumption that Draupadi is not the only female who has Staibhav is in friendship. I think it's a reasonable assumption that there's an unlimited number of jivas who have that relationship. Okay, anything else before we end for today? Yes, Mahalakshmi.
Yeah, now what you said, because there might be persons who may feel Draupadi as their example. There might be persons who are attracted to Draupadi
as the Ashraya. Yes.
If there will be others.
Yes. Yes, Draupadi is given that's a very good point. Draupadi is given by Rupa Goswami as an Ashraya for the friendship rasa. And if she's given as an Ashraya, that means that she is acting as an inspiration for friendship for other devotees. Yes. Yes, that I want to be Krishna's friend like Draupadi. Draupadi inspires me in my own rasa. Yes, all these examples given, and this is, I'm so glad Mahalakshmi brought this up, is that they're given as ashraya, as vibhava ashraya. So they are an impetus of the shelter of the kind of relationship that other people want. Thank you. Daiva Simha Prabhu?
Yeah, Mother, did you answer this question that is conjugal ever mixed with friendship? Prabhupada, Mataji is having this in chat box, and I also...
I'm sorry, question. Could you say that again?
Is conjugal rasa ever mixed with friendship rasa?
Is what rasa offer all ever mixed with friendship?
Conjugal.
Definitely.
Rasa ever mixed with friendship.
Oh, definitely. Haven't you heard a husband or wife say, my spouse is my best friend? In this world, we hear that. We definitely hear that. A husband will say, my wife is my best friend. A wife will say, my husband is my best friend. Definitely. Definitely. Avinata?
If we feel that our interest for Krishna disappears when we perceive that he does not love us, is that an indication that we are in Sakya Rasa with him?
Well, it might be. Or it might be just that you're really a beginning neophyte and you want something from Krishna and you're thinking that Krishna is your order supplier and he has to love you in a particular way. So that really depends upon the person and what level of functioning they're on. Thank you for that excellent question. We'll take Ratnam and then that'll be it for today.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Mataji, we know Manjaris are in Dasya Ras towards Radharani, and in sometimes they also will be Vatsalya, Mataji.
Manjari is younger. I've never heard of them also being able to have Vatsalya. I mean, the qualities of the so-called lower rasas are all present in the so-called higher rasas. So, just like, again, we can see in this world that spouses sometimes care for each other like a parent would care for each other. Mm-hmm. We see that. You know, if your wife is sick, the husband may be taking care of her like he would take care of a child.
Yeah.
The wife, and sometimes people joke like that. Sometimes the wife will, you know, the husband and wife have three children, and she says, oh, I have four children, one of them is my husband. Right? Sometimes people are joking like this. So, you know, the wife may say to the husband, sit down and eat. I've made food for you. Put down your phone. Yeah, stop dealing with your work phone.
Especially in the old age, Mataji.
Yeah.
Especially in the old age.
Especially in the old age, yes. But even in the young age, I've been with families where the wife has prepared the meal and everything is hot on the table and the husband is on his phone with someone at work and the wife says, get off your phone and sit down and eat. I've made food for you. You need to eat something. So that may be there. Some of the qualities of Vatsalya. Are there. Some of the qualities of Dasya are there.
But I'm especially thinking exclusively in Manjari because they are very young in age and they are Dasya towards, totally Dasya. Will they have a little bit caring?
Well, what I will say is next week we're going to be discussing Madhurya Bhav for the first half of the class and then we're going to go on to the Northern Ocean for Laughter for the second half of the class. We're going to be starting on the secondary Stai Bhavs. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami does not go into depth on Madhurya Ras. The section on Madhurya Ras as a primary Stai Bhav is very, very short. Where he goes into depth on Madhurya Ras is in Ujjwala Nilamani. So in Ujjwala Nilamani, Rupa Goswami describes all of these, the Vibhava with the Vishaya, Ashraya, Udipana, Anubhava, Satvika Bhava, everything, the Sai Bhava, in great depth, specifically for Madhurya Bhav, and there he's describing the queens, the Dwarka queens, the different types of gopis, not just Sakis and Manjaris, but all different categories. He basically describes 350 categories. Bhanuswami has translated Ujjwala Nilamani with the commentaries of Jiva Goswami and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, and I would suggest that is really beyond the scope of a class on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu because Rupa does not go into depth on Madhurya Bhav for Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So I would suggest, I don't know if anyone who's taught Ujjwala Nilamani, I mean, maybe somebody in ISKCON has taught it, but a translation is available by Banu Maharaj of the book and the commentaries that I could recommend. So thank you very much, Rupa Goswami. No, I don't think so, Prabhupada Priya. I don't think I'm going to teach you to dwell on the money. So Rupa Goswami ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.